previously on Compassion Radio.
And not to allow the enemy to snatch that hope away that we here as American Christians, you know, the Compassion Radio family can get behind that and say, we want to support those who are wanting to go, rising up to say, I want to go forward in learning about how to spread the love of Christ so I can go back to these areas where I'm coming from, that there is such great despair in the country of Ukraine, and bring that hope to them.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Welcome to the broadcast, celebrating our 74th year of sharing the light of the gospel in some of the most remote places on earth. We are Compassion Radio. You've tuned in for another truly anointed broadcast today as we get started on this, the first day of February, and as we continue the second of three programs where we're visiting with friends from near and far and all points in between. As it often happens with these types of studio sessions, we had to stop kind of abruptly last time around. But today, we're back at it again in a series we've titled A Roundtable on Ukrainian Ministry. We pick it up here with Bram Floria speaking to Pastor Oleg Magdych and his wife Oksana about some of the issues regarding Islamic infighting and its effect on Christian believers. Here's Bram.
Does it seem like Tajikistan is becoming a battleground between Shia and Sunni as well?
It always has been a battleground. In 1992, when we left Tajikistan, that was because of the war between those two groups. Because each of those groups wanted to have their own president in Tajikistan. And there was a civil war in Tajikistan for 9 years, and not many people heard about that war.
Когда я вернулась через 20 лет в Таджикистан,
after I came back to Tajikistan after 20 years of not being there,
это был семинар для.
That was a Christian camping seminar that we did there.
Но я рыдала каждый день.
But I was crying every day.
Когда я слышала истории женщин.
When I heard stories of those women.
Сколько было изнасилованных.
How many of them were raped?
Сколько людей погибло от голода?
How many people were starving to death?
Я злилась и рыдала.
I was mad and I was crying.
Are you able to reach those women now?
А сейчас ты можешь, у тебя есть доступ к этим женщинам? Yes.
How are they responding to the gospel?
Они не перестали верить в Бога.
They didn't stop believing God.
Даже в прошлом году боялись приезжать к нам на семинар.
Even last year when we did the seminar there, some of the Christian leaders were afraid to come to that seminar.
Потому что это было вне закона.
Because it was illegal to do.
И это вплоть там до смертной казни.
And the punishment for doing that could be even the death sentence.
So the death penalty was actually possible just for assembly.
Mm-hmm. И 3 года назад в одном из селений был расстрелян пастор.
And 3 years ago, a Christian pastor was killed in one of the villages.
И это было просто, люди пришли, расстреляли.
People just came and shoot him.
И это стало пугать людей.
And Christians became afraid.
Прошел детский лагерь, и это была большая победа.
So before that happened, we were trying to approach different churches in Tajikistan, and we were telling them, if you want to come and learn how to do Christian camps, and then come back to your village or town and try to reach kids through Christian camps, please come and we will teach you how to do that. And that summer, when that pastor was killed, after that happened, there was the first Christian kids camp in that village.
So the response was from the believers, even in the middle of the fear, they still chose to take a risk on God and let him settle the scores and let him take responsibility for protecting those who would be brave. So what is the fruit of these things? With the persecution increasing in Tajikistan, as the Christians there are being encouraged and more of you coming from Ukraine and maybe other parts of Asia to help support them, what kind of fruit is God building or growing in that country now?
Мы каждый год отчитываемся перед теми людьми, которые благословляют деньгами.
Every year we have to tell stories about what's going on in Tajikistan.
Много христиан — это русские переселенцы с советских времен.
And this year we got to hear stories about small groups started in different places, and those were Russian-speaking Christians that moved to Tajikistan from different parts of the former Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, the story that we heard was a little different. We heard that the not just Russian-speaking people, but local people started coming to those small groups.
Такое больше, как сказать, культурное, да.
Because in different parts of Tajikistan, Islam is more cultural thing than religious.
Аллаха, они не знают его как Бога.
And many people in those parts of Tajikistan, they don't know Аллах as their God.
Yeah. I imagine now with the money pouring in from both Iran and Iraq to, or even Saudi Arabia, to try and reinforce the religious underpinnings of the nation, that they're pushing very hard for Islamic education then, so they can be brought more into the religious side, and not just from the tribal side. So you're saying then that the churches are being brave enough to meet together, and that love amongst them is enough that they're beginning to draw others who are outside the Christian faith already and drawing them in. And it has to be a very quiet, underground, home church kind of way, like what China has thrived on for 50, 60 years. I'd like to pivot back now to Ukraine again, because this very issue that you mentioned about home churches being the place where the church is growing together and growing deep, not just growing in numbers, but becoming the true witness, the bride remains pure, and all those other kind of biblical analogies we use about what the church is supposed to be like. The pressure, the kind of tribulation that's upon the church in Asia right now is visiting your country in many ways, including economic, is spilling over to all the people, whether they're believers or not. The entire nation's under duress. But the church especially is being pressured because they already were earning less than the average worker was in the country. The pastors are already being paid far less than other religious professionals would be in the other Orthodox churches. And with the burden of the economy being cut down by 75% of its value, has a direct effect upon those who serve. And of course, it has an effect upon the ability of the churches to give, to support the people. Yet out of their poverty, they're giving even more. And they're committed more and more. And now you're seeing that they're being willing to follow you and the other leadership of your church at New Life into a committed home church focus. How is that changing the face of Christianity in Ukraine? And what kind of fruit are you seeing already from this?
Well, not only in Ukraine, but hearing stories from different countries, I can say that God is doing something unique and special. And I think he's bringing the church to its roots. And that's what's happening in Ukraine and in our church particularly. We are trying to rethink the church and the way it should look like and the way it should live and the way we do the church. It's painful, but it takes a paradigm shift to start thinking about the church not being something that happens on Sunday morning, but the church being us sitting here together, and we are the church.
Yeah. Well, you have that kind of sense even around this table that we're kind of bringing the world of Christendom right here to this table.
Yeah.
And this morning we get to break bread together and have a meal. Yeah. It's special because God has enabled us to come from four corners of the globe to meet here in this place of peace. So you have a situation where you still have an institutional church. You still meet on Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. You have a place to meet. You have church offices. You have church employees, staff, and ministers. Mm-hmm. But you're also having to retool to think we need to take it to an entirely new level. Now, do the two of you worship together with a home fellowship as well?
We're not a part of the house church yet, but that's going to happen sooner or later.
And all of the ministers would have to be responsible for a home fellowship to be able to lead by example and to grow in these disciplines. You've been studying very hard for the past couple of years about all the world's different types of home church movements and how you're going to build that within the context of your culture and within the cultures you find across Asia where you minister. So I'm excited to see how that's going to grow along the way. Now, the church in the East, the one that you've been supporting and sponsoring and now building, the tent church that we've been involved with Compassion Radio, that in a way is kind of like a large home church that happens to be meeting in the middle of no man's land. You're actually finding a solid building from the meet-in so they can finally get out of the danger of crossfire during skirmishes. But you have a very much a home church mentality with that body of believers. How are they teaching you at the mother church back in Kyiv about how to do worship and how to build a church?
I think there is one thing that we all can learn from them, and that is faithfulness in the midst of crisis and hardships. And they've been faithful to God and to helping each other and loving each other and supporting each other.
And to coming together for their worship.
Yeah, coming together and for sharing their bread if they know that someone is hungry. And so that's the good example for us.
Indeed, it is all about building the relationship. You're listening to Compassion Radio, and that was the voice of good friend Pastor Oleg Magdych from Ukraine, one of our very special guests on today's program. And we'll get right back to it in just a moment. But first, what is that corny expression, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans? While there may be a kernel of truth in that statement, when it comes to mapping out ministry opportunities for 2018, our president, Bram Floria, has this important word to share about how we can connect the kingdom around the world with you.
Hello, friends. Winter is usually a season where things go dormant, waiting for spring to thaw out the world and make things grow again. Well, at Compassion Radio, wintertime is anything but dormant. In fact, the early months of each year are some of the most active and demanding. This is when we prayerfully plan where we will go to get the stories that can change your life. It's when we reach out to whom God is using to advance His kingdom. Winter is the season when we discover how it will be possible to connect the kingdom around the world with you. As much as we make plans, our final decision maker is you. If you support us in the winter months, we have the ability to strike out again and do all the things you count on us to do, to bring you incredible stories packaged in powerful programming. When you support us with your financial gifts, we can go discover the amazing people God is using to change the world and give you opportunities to help support the work. So, friends, will you send your best gift today? We currently need to raise about another $50,000 to keep on time with our ministry obligations. And I know you don't want us to fall behind. With 1,000 releases a day in 500 markets across this country, I know it's completely doable. If just one person listening to today's program in each market sent a single gift of $50, we'd solve this challenge in a single day. I know that some of you can give a fraction of that amount, and some of you can give much, much more. I'm asking you to work together with us to build the foundation we need in 2018 to keep Compassion Radio on the air and in the business of connecting the world in effective, compassionate ways. We need you, friends, and I know you'll be blessed in your generosity to and through Compassion Radio. Please call, write, or visit us on the web today with your gift. Thank you so much.
You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com. We recently updated the website and would love to get your feedback. CompassionRadio.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Let's get back now to our program.
How about the worship life? Fred, you've spoken into those who are learning to become leaders of the church. You're helping the worship leaders of the future in Eastern Europe ask tough questions like, why has it always been done this way? Mm-hmm. We're quite free with those questions here in America because we're raised with this ethic that if you don't ask questions, you're not really involved or invested. Over there...
Or you just complain.
Yeah. And sometimes we take it to extremes and expect our complaints to be completely valid all the time. Then we should accept what we have to say. We have to learn courtesy, of course. You're teaching these people how to ask difficult questions. What kind of questions is God stirring up in the hearts of the future leaders and worship leaders of the Eastern European countries?
Well, I can't speak for all of Eastern Europe, but in terms of the students I deal with in Ukraine and thinking about North America as well, the first thing I think I challenge anybody with is the fact that Sunday morning is not necessarily about being attractive, but it's making attractive Christians who then live lives in the community. And I'm an event person, you know that. Mm-hmm. We've spent many years producing events in multiple situations, multiple countries, and I love an event that's well produced.
Yeah.
But in terms of worship, it is facilitating an encounter with the living God, and it's facilitating relationships amongst the body. And as we focused in North America and exported to Ukraine and other countries, we rarely give people a chance to interact. We might say, turn around, shake hands with the person behind you and ask them what their favorite vegetable is, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever your question is, mm-hmm. just to, quote, create community. But we rarely facilitate, hey, let me pray for you, mm-hmm. or, hey, what's going on, or I'm having a rough week. We build vertical bridges, but not necessarily horizontal bridges. Sometimes we don't do
it. In our own society, we discover that we actually do connect when we actually are sharing a meal, literally.
There is that.
We do the same thing with our home fellowship back in Texas because we don't just meet together for a Bible study. We actually do a meal every week.
It's something very sacramental about eating.
Yeah.
That's when we find out what's actually going on in the lives of the people.
Because the walls are down.
Yeah.
It's something, a common experience that we all feel comfortable with.
Do the believers in Ukraine feel connected that way? Do they feel like they really are part of a body, or do you have to fight to get them to a place of connection just like we do in the West?
I think it's a global problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, and as Fred said, the Christianity was, to some extent, was imported to Ukraine from the States in the early 90s, and we learned from you guys how to do
and
things.
We're so sorry.
In some ways. Other ways, it's been a beautiful thing.
I know. I mean, you know, I say that because we tend to think, oh, that's an amazing thing. But I see, oh, it's like when you train somebody up, you've got an apprentice working with you, and then you see them doing what you taught them to do, and you realize they didn't only just pick up the good things, they picked up the bad things, and you're staring at it going, how do I deal with this?
Yeah, and right now we're trying, I think, I personally and some friends from my church, we're trying to find what we call the golden line.
The golden mean, we might say.
Yeah, between the Western Christianity that was brought to Ukraine and the Eastern Christianity that was in Ukraine for the last 2,000 years.
Yeah. Yep.
And to be able to define it better for our listeners, we're talking about evangelical meeting with traditional or Orthodox.
Yeah.
And the challenge is that Ukrainian evangelical believers have taken on a North American bias. Huh. And then it's saying, well, everything Orthodox is bad. And the fact is, no. But when I studied Orthodoxy, and then I went to an Orthodox service, I asked my professor, I said, so, you're telling me that if the year was 1053, the year before the schism, or the official statement of the schism, it happened long before that, that if I went to church, it would look like that? And he said, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mm-hmm. It's got some roots.
Oh, yeah, and it's got some legs as well. I mean, it's something that is there, and just to take on, without contextualizing what you got from North America, is wrong. My challenge, you asked me how I train them, I said, they do a set of worship songs, because worship is more than just music, and I will say, great, so where's the Ukrainian song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's not one. Oh, well, find one. Mm-hmm. Or write one.
Create one.
Something that represents what God has uniquely done in this culture, that is a way you can express it to them. And that's the challenge, I think, because Ukraine is at the cutting edge, which is why I think there's so much stress and tension politically, within militarily. All those things are happening, and we've got to say, you have something valuable to contribute, so give it to us. I need what you have to give.
And not just what I'm feeding you to do.
Well, thank you.
You know, it's a, yeah. And you're training people. Fred, you're committed to the spiritual formation and the development and the maturation of those people that God is raising up within these countries. Because you have an international, a world view of what God's doing in this missiological century.
Yeah, and I want them to understand that if they stand up there in front of a congregation in whatever role, that they are responsible for the spiritual formation of the people out there.
Yeah.
Whether they feel responsible or not, they are forming them spiritually.
And as I've tried to communicate to you all, as I've sat down with you before, there are many, many people, whether they know it or not, in the West, especially in America, that are begging the world, send us something new that's deep and meaningful. What is God doing where you are? It's why our program exists, to let you all speak to us and say, this is what God's doing where we are. Join with us as we celebrate these things. Pray with us as we struggle through these things. Mourn with us as we bury these things. There are many things that we need to enter in with you along the way. And in the meantime, we're going to learn a lot about what God is doing, and we'll transform our own worship life along the way. So that's a very beautiful thing, and it's necessary because we can get stuck in our own things too. I sat in a hotel room a few days ago. I saw 27 Christian stations in 15 languages here in Southern California, and all of them recycling in 15 different languages the same worship songs coming out of Australia, England, and America. Every single one of them. I thought, something's got to give here because we're not being given back what God's doing there, and maybe the people just don't know that God is, in fact, doing something tremendous within their midst. And I'm thrilled that you, Oleg, have taken a risk not just to say we need to go back to the home church model and recapture the first century, but we need to do it in a Ukrainian way and learn from the world what we can, but not to copy, not to stamp our own version of the exact same thing they're doing in Iowa or doing in London or doing in Sydney. So I'm very proud of you for seeking deep on this one and asking the Holy Spirit to lead you along in that process.
And may I just reinforce it as well, that for a church that has the profile that their church does and for the definite things they have, you know, made their mark in, this is radical. And for something that's been, a ship that's been going in this direction for some time, to try to get this battleship to turn on a dime, as it were.
Radical
really
to whom?
Difficult.
Radical to the believers in Ukraine?
Radical to the believers in Ukraine. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was interesting.
It's scary.
It's scary for you. And the people who have built their model on your model are going, well, what do we do? Or I thought it was interesting to see that certain people honored your pastor. The people who kind of pushed him out the door before recently said, oh, well, he's one of ours. So there's some change, but they see him in a number of they see them in a number of different areas in the same way. So taking this step is going to be interesting to see how they respond, their influence community responds.
It's interesting to think that they're scared or literally frightened of a change like a worship style. These are people that are on the front lines on the weekend fighting for their independence. And yet to come into a worship center and say, we need to change the way we pray, as being something that's vastly more frightening. Interesting that we would face that kind of spiritual battle and realize that that's where the real battle is. And it's even more consequential than just the bombs and bullets flying over you in the pursuit of your independence.
On the front lines, we are there because we care about earthly life. And here we're talking about eternity.
And eternity is something that isn't just waiting for us out there. It's what God is giving to us now. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's letting the eternal, the divine, enter into our midst. It's allowing him to show up and letting God become the worship leader himself. All kinds of ways we could twist on that particular amazing thing that God's doing in the new worship life of the 21st century.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's a wrap on part two of this tremendous roundtable discussion on Ukrainian ministry on today's Compassion Radio. And we trust you'll be back with us tomorrow as we bring it to its conclusion. Before we leave you for today, here's Bram with a final word.
In just two more months, we'll begin our 75th year of ministry, which, when you think of it, is an astounding achievement in broadcasting. It's also a testament to generations of faithful partnership that has truly changed the world. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to lead this ministry in a new era and to new generations of listening activist partners. In the days and weeks ahead, we'll be sharing some incredible new projects and initiatives that are going to have a profound and lasting effect on the body of Christ around the world. And remember, friends, this is a partnership in every sense of the word. You partner with us each and every day as you help keep us on the air, broadcasting from the station where you hear us. Can I ask you again for your support in this unique mission? Expanding Compassion Radio projects and outreach in 2018 can only happen if you make it happen. Please write, call, or go online to send your gift of support today. Thank you so much.
You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or you can give online safe and secure at CompassionRadio.com. That phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll see you again tomorrow with more Compassion Radio.